welcome to Grid Talk, your weekly RC racing podcast with your host myself, Russell Lee, and as always, the fantastic Chris Bowden. How are you doing, Chris?
I am not doing too bad, mate. I know you'll be eager to thank the sponsors, but one of them will be getting a particularly long mention today.
Absolutely. So let me thank the sponsors. So a massive thanks to CMR Distribution, RC House, Schumacher Racing and Will Speed, the companies that keep us in every week and lovingly throw us a couple of prizes at Christmas. Speaking of Will Speed, Chris, this week it's Will Johnson of Will Speed and, of course, Mark Hedling. How are you doing, guys? You all right?
Hello. Good evening.
Good.
Good evening, guys.
From you guys.
You know what? I should have said at the start. One of you needs to speak first, otherwise it's going to be silent. I mean, we've got so many things to talk about: cars, bits. But what I want to do is I want to speak about the Will Speed Grand Prix first, which was a couple of weeks ago, because it looked like it was a massive meeting, considering how far down the country it was. There was people coming from Scotland and from Leeds, and you know, there was literally a massive who's who of people there. So what did it take to put on a meeting like that? How do you gain the people and how do you get them there?
I think this has to start with, it's a bit more of the club's doing than our own. So we will throw big props and thank you out to 1066 Racing, headed by Ben Winters and Andrew and their great group of guys. And so this is the second edition of the meeting. It's very successful the first year round, but they came to us. They approached us of, would you like to front a meeting with your name on? And we sort of do the PR side of it, make it that little bit special with, you know, the presentation, the trophies. And this year we were very fortunate to attract some sponsors as well. So, yeah, it was a brilliant turnout. And yeah, I don't know if Mark wanted to run through, say, some of the sponsors we got and a bit of a proceedings of the day, but it was a really good event.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no problems, Will. Yeah, no, it was absolutely fantastic. So like Will said, huge thanks to the 1066 Racing crew and obviously all the sponsors that came on board. So, you know, Will and the team reached out to some of the sponsors and tried to get them on board for this year's event. So we had CML Distribution come on board, which was great, and also Schumacher Racing and 1066 RC, which is a local hobby shop in Hastings that does lots of race stuff and supports the club and brings had the on-site shop as well. So that was great having those three companies on board, as like Will said, and obviously Will Speed provided the nice alloy trophies and some really cool little carbon fiber key rings, which every driver got one of those, which was pretty awesome. CML and Schumacher and 1066 RC basically donated prizes to the raffle, and all the we basically sold tickets throughout the day, and the proceeds from the raffle went towards the 1066 Racing's outdoor track. So they've got a plot of land from the council, so spent a couple of years, I think, trying to get that organised. So they've got a plot of land now, and they ran some grass track meetings over the last couple of years there. But I think they want to go down the AstroTurf route and get a sort of proper venue, you know, up and running there. So all the proceeds went to that. I think, Will, correct if I'm wrong, but was it £600 or £800 that they raised towards the track?
Yeah, correct. Somewhere between those figures.
Absolutely. Awesome.
Is 1066 like your local club for Will Speed,
I'd say so. Yeah, we have a lot of our team guys there, plus also customer drivers as well. The cars go very well in there, and obviously where Will Speed's based in the southeast, it's in Ashford, you know. We do get quite a few people there. So, yeah, it's one of our locals. Also Faversham, Faversham Club, which is in a village hall on a Wednesday. It is pretty much where me and Will met. Plus, you know, we've had lots of great drivers there come through that club. So Carl Moon is obviously a good national level driver and a Will Speed guy. Plus Nathan Rawls and lots of other top quality drivers have come through that little club. So yeah, that's our sort of two local ones really. And then quite a lot of the guys go to the Essex Carpet Clash in the winter, as well as the 1066 Club nights and meetings as well. So yeah, we get a good spread of people.
What was the format of the day? Was it like just practicing single leg finals, or was it triple finals for the A finalists?
It was. So we had basically, just to give you a brief rundown of the meeting. So It was held down at 1066 in Hastings, and we had two 3-minute seeding rounds to get people dialed into the track, because it's a bit there's a report I've done on Red RC that you can read, and there's some photographs of the venue and the track, etc., which, you know, looked absolutely stunning. It looked like EOS quality circuits that they put out on a bi-weekly basis at their club nights. But anyhow, we did two seeding rounds so people could get dialed in, because basically you stand, if you imagine the track like the shape of a football pitch, you're basically where the viewing balcony rostrum is, it's a balcony. You basically stand up on that and look as if you were sat at one of the goals, if you get what I mean, at a football pitch. You're looking down the track that way, rather than you've got it. I'm trying to explain it I'm waving my hands like an Italian, but obviously you can't see me. That's basically so people get used to, so we had the two seeding rounds, so they get used to the track, where to stand, and the sort of orientation of that. So and then we had four qualifying rounds and two finals for everybody, so that was good. So everybody got good value for money. It's not just the a finalist that get the two or three legs or whatever, and everybody else doesn't. So right down to the H final, I think everybody got their two finals, which was great. And we also Schumacher was the sort of control tire, so you could run your Cactus on the rear and the Fusions or the Cut Staggers on the front. And you were just limited to two sets for the whole day. So big thanks to Kyosho Claire for she was in scrutineering, marking all the tyres and ticking all the names off. And we had 84 drivers there, so she was super busy. So bless her. She did an absolutely amazing job. So that was the kind of format, I suppose. And, as we went into qualifying, we had Lee Martin there. So basically, just to give you a bit of a flavour of who's who was there, really, we had a lot of the CML team came. So Pete Lyons, Abe, who else will help me out here? Oh, Aaron.
The Poles. So we had Dan Poles. Hattie and Evie Thames.
That's right. Yeah, the local CML crew.
Mr. Rules. Yeah, it was quite a large CML team.
Yeah, and then we had the Schumacher team come along as well, which is, again, great. So we had superstar Ali Martin there that put on a bit of a show, and the Slough crew. So Yasir and Sam and Nick Goodall and lots of the Schumacher guys were there as well, which was great to see. Charlie Colby was there, obviously running this Schumacher, and his dad was DDRC TV, was doing the race videos there, which was awesome. So that was brilliant having him there. So there's lots of those videos on YouTube if you want to go and watch them. And then we also had YouTube sensations that pop along RC there. So that was great. So they're really nice to meet those guys. They're super cool, weren't they, Will?
Yeah, good couple of guys. And so we sort of made contact with Pop Along a little bit prior to the meeting, because they had dropped some hints in some of their videos we'd been watching of the interest in our stuff. So it was good to hook them up with some stuff, and they've done a bit of a promotion on their channel and our stuff. So it was great to have them down at the meeting, meet them in person, and I think they had a good time as well. I don't know if people would come to me with bad criticism, but everything I heard on the meeting was really positive. So it was a great meeting. Yeah, great day.
I had a wander around the pits and just they're great guys, they built up a TLR wheel speed because they had obviously a few issues with running the TLR, and Will reached out and said, would you like to convert it to a wheel speed and get it going properly? And it went really, really well, handled really nice. And Adam, who's the sort of other half of wheel speed, he was running a TLR RF3, and we sort of helped set up, and Adam's car went really well. So they had a really good meeting. A few technical glitches to start with, which they covered on their videos, but they got going pretty well after that. So and they've done about two or three videos following on from that. And I saw in the last Pop Along video, Will, you've lent them your car. Hopefully it comes back in one piece, your lovely red anodized RF3.
Yeah, that was I had to dash off from the meeting early, unfortunately. But as I was leaving, I sort of just had the thought process of they were heading into MKGP is now quite present. I think everyone's seen the TLR stories across the internet. I think if you can't get it from Freddie, you're not going to get it from many places at all. So Yeah, and so the other half pop along runs AE, and obviously there'll be a lot of AE support at the meeting. So I dropped my car with Carl Popalong, saying he could take that with him and do with it as he pleases. So if he runs it or not, I think he put a video out on that today. So it looks like he's going to run TLR, but obviously runs into issues, or maybe with a bit more guidance from the donor car side of things, or even our teams. Our team is dominantly the Associated car, so he's got that option as well to take that and have a play with.
If anyone does need any Associated spares at the MKGP, speak to Bowden, because he's got like one of everything.
So. Hold on.
Excellent.
Don't play in the
system. Exactly. I've got one of everything. So if my one breaks, I'm scuppered.
Sorry, Chris. I thought I'd throw you under the bus there. Yeah.
Well, the AE stuff don't break that often, so you'll be fine. You'll be fine. The meeting was awesome. I was just having a quick look through my race report I knocked up. But basically Lee Martin took TQ, so he was super smooth, hitting all the apexes and just being Lee basically. But it was great to see some of the local lads chasing him around and putting a bit of pressure on. So Carl Moon had an absolutely awesome meeting and finished up second to Lee in the finals. But during qualifying and each of the rounds of that, there was some really, really close racing between the two of them, which was awesome. And great to see some of the youngsters as well. So, Aaron Nash, Abe Lyons, Ollie Natris, with his Kyosho was going really well. So it was definitely the kids are coming through, which was awesome to see. I think, well, did we have 9 or 10 juniors there, I think, out of the 80 drivers?
I think it was a bit more than that. I think it was in the teens. Yeah, it was really good. And I think if you looked at that, the average age of the A final, it must have been solid, 20 or lower. As I say, most of the juniors were dominating the A final. And I think, they were absolutely flying. I think one person to mention in particular whose result didn't show the true pace of their day, and I don't think Lee had it entirely easy. I mean, Lee is a superstar in his own means, but I think Kyle took it to him in a couple of rounds, and say Dan Pohl was phenomenally fast. I think his two finals, say we had a two leg finals and your best score to count, the other on count back. And I just think Dan didn't have a final that came together, but he was absolutely flying. And say Aaron, who dropped onto the podium as well. So, a really good showing from the junior side, and
Tommy Dowett, he made the A final, didn't he, as well? Another junior driver for Serpent, so he had a cracking meeting. And then some of our locals, Dimitri, made the A as well as Nathan Rules, Abe was going really, really well with his new B7. So no, it was a good, really, really good mix of the people in the A final. And I must shout out to the boss man Will, but Will hadn't raced in a year, and I think your first round you stuck in the top 10 just about, so that was absolutely amazing. Quite annoying really as well, because you haven't picked up a transmitter in a year, and you come and do the Wheel Speed GP every year and go really well, so you stuck it in the B, didn't you, in the end?
Yeah, I had that story of everyone likes to have, if you could take out the errors, I would have been in the back end of the A somewhere. But I think I really enjoyed myself, but the most enjoyable bit is probably Adam's frustrations of, I think every time I turn up to race, Adam almost quits again, because let's just turn out I'm not on the level to make that A every time. But I went round all right, and I was quite happy.
I was sitting opposite Adam, and he just kept saying, he hasn't raced for a year. Look at the times he's doing. If he puts some effort in, he could be really, really good in all this. But
you never lose it.
You've got a young family and everything else. So fair enough. Fair enough. But overall, the meeting was absolutely brilliant. Overall A final results. So Lee Martin took the win with his Schumacher. Then we had Carl Moon with his Wheel Speed RF3 Associated in second. Then we had Aaron Nash in third. Then Nathan Rules of Steady Thumbs, finished fourth with his B7. Then we had Abe Lyons with his B7. Dimitri, who's sponsored by 1066 RC, again an Associated driver, and Yassir came in seventh with his Schumacher, sponsored by SEMCS. Then we had Ollie Natris, who had a a good run. Again, a couple of unfortunate tumbles. He finished up eighth with his Kyosho RB7. Then we had Daniel Pohl, like Will mentioned, super, super quick. And what a talented lad, you know, and fair play coming down from Scotland to basically Hastings, one end of the country to the other, which was amazing. So he finished up ninth. And then Tommy Dale in 10th. So that was the sort of A final. And then, you know, great racing all the way through. The B final was great and the C final was pretty cool. So, yeah, it was a absolutely brilliant meeting. Absolutely loved it.
Class, mate. Did you say you'd done some special stuff for all the races as well? Like you did some key rings and things like that. What were the key rings like?
Yeah, they were just almost like a trolley token. Unfortunately, carbon doesn't really lay up in such a way you can actually get a trolley token thickness. So I was like, yeah, that's what I started with. But yeah, it was literally like a little key tag with like the top surface engraved. So it was a little wheel speed.
I'll send you a picture.
Obviously, our logo. Yeah, our logo, nice and circular as it be, it lends itself quite nicely to that. So, basically, we handed those to Claire. Again, thanks to Claire. And as everyone came through Tyre Tech, once they teched their second set of tyres, they collected their little key tag. So a nice little takeaway from the meeting, which was sort of included as a little piece that, it's quite smart.
We spoke just briefly there about Carl Moon. Is he doing the MKGP this weekend?
He is, yeah. So we've got a small team heading up to the MK. I'm saying Kyle will probably be heading the way, having good results in that meeting of past. I mean, from our debut back in 2018, he was in the top 10, having battles with Neil Craig. And then again, following year, he made the A again when it was in the Bruntingthorpe. And then I think as he is going, he still had good results, but obviously the competition's just raised and raised and raised and raised. So, but he's always at the sharp end. And so yeah, we've got Carl Perryman going as well. Should shout out to Carl as well. Carl does a lot of work for us as well. Carl does all the graphics side of things. And say we did plaster Facebook for a number of days in driver announcements with the WSGP, and Carl did all of those, and he does all the graphic side of the company, if you like. So big thanks to Carl. Roger Tugwood, also in that team, and I'm trying to think off the top of my head, I think there's about seven or eight guys we've got heading up there.
Yeah, and we've got a couple of customer cars going that's pretty cool. There's a Andy Schumacher Wheel Speed truck that he made, which is a one off, which looks pretty cool. He converted himself, so there's quite a few people going up, as well as who else have we got going? Just having a quick look through the Wheel Speed group chat. Oh yeah, Colin Kershaw's going, so he'll be repping up there. Quite a few people, which would be good. So I look forward to seeing them go. The car's obviously going. The car flies on the carpet, and I've heard that on the other podcast that Lee was saying that the grip was super high when he did a bit of a test session at the Silverstone kind of club warm up night thing that went on the mezzo. So I hear it's pretty high grip, and the carpet's a bit. It's the same carpet from last year, I think. So
yeah,
Lee was saying it's kind of.
Yeah, you were saying, weren't you, Chris? It was red hot, the grip.
Oh, did you guys, Chris? Did you?
Yeah, the grip is ridiculous.
Is it
like? The only way I can describe it is like, that old phrase, like racing on Velcro.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like racing on Velcro coated in glue. It was absolutely like when the temperature, apparently it gets quite affected by the temperature. Mm-hmm. I hadn't experienced that because it was all a steady temperature when I went. But yeah, apparently it is like very temperature sensitive. So I'm hoping, with it being a bit cooler in that big hall, there may be a little bit less grip. But certainly it was very, very. It was such an edgy carpet. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I know when we did the Bruntingthorpe, I went to that one, and that was on the black CRC carpet, and that, again was like a scale electric car. It felt like when you're driving it was just, there wasn't any slide to it. It's like, all of a sudden, bang, you're on your lid if you push that a little bit too hard. And is it similar feeling to that, would you say?
It made that feel like driving on Primafelt.
Really?
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
It was like really, really
So you're going to get 5mm roll bars front and back and touring car springs.
Was it grippy? Got a bit of steel girder.
Was it grippy without a grip roll, Chris, or was it grippy with grip roll?
No, it was weird. You know, when you think of grip roll, you think of a car biting and then all of a sudden you're skidding across the floor on your roof.
Yeah.
It was like it'd get to the point where the car like popped up on two wheels. But then it sort of, and I can only speak for like the AE cars, it just seemed like it gave you a bit of time just to go, oh, bit too hard. And then it would just drop itself down onto all four wheels again. You could go. It wasn't like grip rolling where you went into the corner and then all of a sudden you sort of barrel rolling James Bond style across the track. It was edgy without being like, I suppose it might be like dangerously edgy.
Right. And Fusion front source. Cut stems or
yeah,
glued
I ran.
Or?
I ran Fusion front. Right. I just ran Fusion fronts glued down. No inserts. Some people are running inserts.
And were you gluing the sidewalls at all? I don't.
Sidewalls. You can glue all the way up to the outer part of the stagger, and you can you can trim the bead as well.
Oh, okay.
So I think trimming the bead might be something to try because then you're not having to glue them down as much. But then when you're folding that ridge over, are you creating a nice, like, thick, stiff edge on that tyre to stop it rolling?
Yeah. And is there a tyre limit there, or?
Nah, you can just use what you want. Which, in all honesty,
I have seen a few pictures of people with, like, you know, here we go, gluing up for the MKGP, and crikey, there's people have got some wheels and tyres all lined up in a big row ready to get on this.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I have been a real big fan recently of the fact that club days have been limiting tyres, both from the point of view as a racer and as an official. I really think it's a good idea. Bury one set of tyres all day. Wheel Speed GP two sets. Slayer when you go down there for a club day, one set for quali. And if you want, you can put another set on for your final. Mm-hmm. I'm a big, big fan of how clubs are starting to realise that the way to make your club series attendable for everybody is to make it affordable. You know,
100%. We have a sort of gentleman's agreement on club nights at Hastings at 1066. You know, just one set of tyres for the night, guys, and most people stick to that. You know, the tyreway's not too bad there. Now we've got the Fusions on the front, and they last pretty well, to be honest.
Yeah. I have to say that Fusion tyre, like, I'm a bit late to the party, but obviously I think that was my first experience with that tyre at the Wheel Speed GP, and what a better tyre that is, and just all round from wear point and drivability. Thanks to Schumacher for that one. I was getting a bit tired of we was going through the cut staggers. I mean, we're still doing it, gluing them down with these, but it feels a bit more rewarding driving on those than the old cut stagger.
And I'll tell you what the local club to us, Dudley, something we, a few of us are talking of trying. I know Westbridge for do it. The honeycombs actually work really, really well on carpet.
Mm.
And you can get about 6 weeks worth of running out of them.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
So, yeah, it's not ultimate grip like carpet racing where it is a Scaelectric and you're glued to the floor, but it actually slows the racing down a bit and promotes really, really good battling on track rather than flat out eyes on stalk smashing each other off the track, not because it's intentional, just because of how fast the cars are going. You don't get time to react.
Okay, that's interesting. Maybe I have to suggest that to the guys. But you know, like I say, with the Fusions there, you can easily do a club night on them, and what I normally do is do a club night on them and then use them for practice the following club meeting and put a fresh set on for Q1 really, and then again just rotate them like that. And you know, they run every 2 weeks at Hastings, so it's not a huge tyre bill for the month each month, so it's not too bad with the Fusions. But you know, when we had the cut staggers on the front with the, you know, most people run a 6.5 in there with a bit of turbo. Some people run 5.5 in the two wheel drives at Hastings because the track's so big. You know, if there's a long, fast sweeper at the end of the straight rather than a hairpin, you were almost getting like a, you know, by the sort of third run, the cut stagger almost slick, and you had to sort of swap tyres from side to side and what have you. But with the Fusions, it seems the balance seems there, and the tyre wear is pretty good. I know some people have done, you know, sort of two club meetings on just one set of tyres. So yeah, it's definitely improved the racing, no doubt.
Yeah, like I said, I'm a big fan of the of it. I think the tyre rule, let's just make it affordable for people. Otherwise, people just are going to stop going to club nights, and then you run out of clubs to, you know, to do your job.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it was great. We were running two sets of tyres down at Slough. I mean, the other interesting thing about running like one set of tyres or for qualifying and one set for finals is that everyone had the same tyres all the time, if you know what I mean. Like me and Chris were saying about this, it was easy to compare my old car and his new car because we both had new tyres in round one, you know. So so there was no like, oh, you put new tyres on for round three sort of thing, because it was the same for both of us, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Chris, one thing I was going to ask you was, you know, coming from the 6.4, I've built the B7, the shop B7, but I haven't raced it yet. Because you know, the guys are busy doing stuff, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a bit. You know, what do you think is the biggest difference going from the 6.4 to the 7 from a sort of handling perspective and how it drives, really?
I think...
Sorry, I'm interviewing you here.
Yeah, no. I think I haven't even prepped for this question. How rude! I think it's a more stable platform.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it gets as bound up with itself as the 6.4 did. I felt that it's easier to drive at that faster speed. It's more consistent. It's easier to put where you want it. I think it corners quite differently. It does take a little bit of getting used to.
Does it have a lot of initial steering, or is it just more steering
It's more steering throughout the whole range, I think. Right. And the steering feels a bit more linear. So... Mm-hmm. When you move the stick, it feels like you get the same amount of steering all the way through the range of the stick or wheel, if that, you know, you've chosen the wrong transmitter. Yeah. It's corner speed is ridiculous. You might have found this running. Obviously, it's no secret. It's 5 gear. The wheel speed was a 5 gear.
Yep.
I found that I was having to kind of reprogram my brain, because your acceleration points are totally different to what they would be with the 6.4. I think me and Russ talked about it, one of the Slough meeting we went to. There was one particular corner where I was on the power 4 foot before Russ could even think about getting on the power. Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That's sort of one of the traits of the wheel speeds. You know, they carry, you know, a huge amount of corner speed. And, you know, like what I used to tend to do with my Yokomo RF2 and my associated one, I'd literally build the stock car, put the wheel speed chassis on it, keep the setup the same, the pills the same, the shocks, and literally bolt the front and rear ends onto the wheel speed conversion. And then, you know, you could physically see the corner speed difference and feel it, you know, on track sort of thing. So be interesting to see, you know, driving us. I haven't had a go on a stock B7 yet. So be interesting to see if it feels a bit like a wheel speed. But
In all honesty, when you say stock, obviously, I'm sure there will be some upgrades. I don't think we're in the years of upgrades anymore, are we? Everything's more of a tuning part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with so many options available on these cars, there's no real anything like the factory team or whatever other brands' versions of that are. Speed Secrets, I think, with Schumacher's. Mm-hmm. They're just tuning parts now. But the B7, it comes with most of the things you want, like the... We're running it. It's pretty. I mean, I've got mine sat in front of me here, and don't get me wrong, I'm a big tart, so I've thrown titanium everything at it and Kashima bodies, and you know what I mean. But it comes with an alley bulkhead. You know, you have to.
Yeah, it seems well spec'd out the box, doesn't it? And I think you know, most people chuck the alloy steering on, but again, it'll run pretty well without it, won't it? You know, I think it's a good bang for your buck. I'd say the B7. You know.
I'm still running the kit roll bars. It comes with all three KPI adjustments.
Mm.
everything else that's on mine, like the steering plates and the camber plates, they're just tuning for specific things.
And I heard that the is the rear spring a bit soft? I think obviously I've built a B7, but I haven't run one yet. But are the springs pretty good out of the box as well, or is it more the damping and the pistons that?
I think it's just getting the pistons right.
Some more springs. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean the springs. Historically, our yellow rear spring is the hardest we've got. Mm-hmm. The V3 30mm shocks, it is a little bit softer than the old V2. Mm-hmm. So there's a few people that are trying like a slightly harder spring from other brands just to see if it works.
Yeah. Maybe a certain wheel speed spring, say.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, that'd be lovely. If anybody's got some at the GP and wants to come over and see me, I'll certainly give him a bash.
Yeah, I'm sure we can get that arranged, yeah.
But I tried on the really high grip stuff, I actually went to a slightly softer spring, just so I'm running blues and to start with, which is one lower. And I felt it just let the car roll a little bit more. And again, even more predictable than it already was. So I was quite happy on that.
And Will, obviously you're the clever one here. The wheel speed springs, the new 30mm ones, obviously, you know, I know they've been super, super popular and we've had to restock them about two or three times already. And I know there's another, God knows how many thousands of springs turning up next week. But do the wheel speed spring rates sort of start from the hardest associated one and go upwards, is it, Will? Or do you want to explain that quickly?
Yeah, sure. So we have a bit of a crossover. So we have five sets of springs, front and rear, under the wheel speed tag, and our top, if you take the top two rates of ours, they are two rates harder than AE's hardest offering.
So the blue and green wheel speeds are two harder than the hardest.
Yeah. So is it from memory? Is it orange? Is the hardest AE on the front? So if you
purple.
Sorry. So if you go purple, our green is up from that, and then we've got blue, which is up from that again. And then if you go back the other way, there are some equivalents there, if you like. So we basically got the three hardest, and then we've got another two steps further on from that. As Mark says, they've been incredibly popular. It's always very difficult from, you know, the business point of view of what we hold in stock. Let's say stock holds value and, you know, cash that we have to spend on putting things into stock to sell, and the springs is one of the things that we're always very, you know, do we put 100 in stock, do we put 500 in stock? And yeah, we've just committed to quite a large restock of those because we've restocked the first two times very quickly and say I don't think they're going to go away. So our 12mm range was also very popular. I think it just, we caught the tail end of, so we came out with those, had a bit of a hurrah with them being very successful, and then quickly everything went 13mm. So, so we're still stocking the 12mm as well, but obviously bringing up the 13mm range, and that's going to be kept in healthy stocks still. And they're a nice silver colour, which I think people are quite fond of.
Yeah, no, they look a bit different. I know, last winter quite a few, you know, we've got a distributor in the USA and Wheel Speed USA, and they were at a particular carpet meeting last year, and we noticed some silver springs on Mayfield's car, on what's his name, the TLR super dude, what's his name?
Fend.
Car. He had some on there. It was quite. Me and Will were texting each other like, you know, look, they've got one, and then another superstar driver had them on as well. You know, like, I think some of them coloured in with black pen to cover them up a bit, but that was quite amusing that they're running out springs from the UK, which was cool. And interestingly, I tried some of the 30mm springs on my 12mm shocks on my Associated, and they fit, the 30mm springs fit pretty well on that. So that's another option for people to try if they're still rocking the 6.4 or the 3 or the 1 or the 2. You know, so you can still obviously run those springs if you fancied it. But we've got loads of the 12mm in stock, and they're obviously a perfect fit. So there we are.
I think even the 12mm fit on the
13mm shocks.
Even fit on the 13mm shocks. Just final wind up.
Yeah, and you were just flipping the adjuster collar over, weren't you? And then
or if you just literally just slightly.
I'll bend them out a bit.
Bend them out just slightly, and they just clipped over. Because what another thing people don't realize, it's not actually the springs that are 12 mil, is it? The 12 mil and 13 mil number denotes the bore for the inside of the barrel of the shock.
Yeah.
So there's not actually, although there is a bit of difference, it's not as much as, it's not a full mil like people think.
Interestingly enough, a lot of the team, and obviously Carl, like we said earlier, had an amazing second place to Lee at the Wheel Speed GP, and he was on the blue front screen rear. So again, a pretty stiff spring. And we're on EOS carpet with the Fusions and the Cactus. So, it's certainly a good option there to try.
Yeah. Simple. Have you got a lot of new stuff coming with Wheel Speed at the moment, or is it top secret, or...?
I'll let Will say. I do know, but I'll let Will take this one. I don't want to get in trouble.
No, we've got a number of things coming, I think, in quite quick succession. I was talking before we came on live, but we've had a bit of a restructure in terms of how we focus on the business. And so we've always been known for our conversion platforms. And that is not going to disappear by any means. I think it's great to have that flagship product, but we do appreciate the affordability for that for the large majority, and say the upheaval of, if you're happy with a platform and you like the look of our stuff, but it's a big change into what you're running. So that will still be a thing that still has a place with us, and say that's what we get excited about, is the more extreme side of things, where, and say, the RF conversions. But we will put a lot more focus into the option part side of things throughout this year, and we'll say we already have been. So I think it's no secret that the B7, the release sort of came out of nowhere. I heard some rumblings, but sort of didn't really believe it till I saw it, and then obviously it was on our doorstep, and so we got them supplied pretty quickly. And we do have a number of B7 parts and accessories that I think a lot of people will appreciate. A lot of people, issues with the CND blocks, I've seen a number of fantastic parts come out for those as well. I think TMG Speeds, one to mention, I saw those were out pretty quickly. So we'll be doing similar things. We'll have CND blocks in strengthened versions, and hopefully some other ideas behind them to hopefully subside some issues that people have, but also like the alternative toe versions, front bulkheads, upper link mounts, other bits and pieces, some carbon bits, and very nice battery mounts. So there'll be a number of things. I think they'll all come in line pretty fast, so hopefully people will enjoy those. And that's not the end of our focus. Say that's dominating a lot of our time at the moment, because it's a new platform and we've got a number of ideas that we want to release together. But we are doing other parts for other manufacturers as well. And I think Schumacher and Yokomo are high up in that list, and a bit of vintage as well. Say we did some, I think we talked about them before, but the Top Force bell cranks. They have been extremely popular, and we restocked them again recently. And the vintage market is obviously forever growing, and with re-releases and stuff like that, I think, and just the general class of racing people really enjoy. So I think we're bringing some accessories there. I think that will help those guys out with some guidance from the iconic guys to make sure it's all legal. But and body shells as well. So I think we manufacture our own body shells. We do all that ourselves. I say that's actually done by my dad. He does it in his garage. We're going to bring out, increase our line of vacuum formed things. So I think B7 body is pretty high up that list, and say some other just standard fit bodies as well, just not our own RF bodies. And the wing lines, we're going to do body shells for just the standard cars as well. So
I'll tell you what, you have to do tyres, and you can be like the UK's J Concepts.
It's getting close, isn't it? I mean,
Yeah. Well, I suppose you've got to move with the market, haven't you? You know, and it's great that you've been proactive on it rather than, you know, just sitting back and resting on your laurel sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. But, I think you just got to keep pushing on, and we've got, you know, some of the, honestly, they'll blow your mind. Some of the ideas that Will and Adam come up with, you know, is you know, absolutely awesome. So you know, loads and loads in the pipeline, and some you know, some really, really cool stuff for the future, I'm sure, you know. So yeah, we'll keep pushing on. And they had that, talking of the vintage stuff that Will mentioned, you know, we've had a few cars in at the workshop, you know, having a look at those. I've got quite a few in my garage as well, that the guys can obviously look and take apart and measure and CAD up designs and things for that. But they had that big meeting at the Euromasters, wasn't it, at MB Models last weekend. So, you know, crikey, what a meeting that was. And obviously some of the cars now that people are putting together, and obviously I know there's loads of Kyosho re-releases there, plus obviously lots of the Tamiya fans. I know Chris is a huge fan of Tamiya. You know, the meeting looked awesome and the racing looked fantastic. And, you know, Ollie Natris, who I mentioned earlier, you know, TQ'd and won both his two-wheel drive and four-wheel drive classes with his cars. And, you know, poor old Carl Marsden couldn't quite keep up with his young protege. But, the meeting looked absolutely fantastic. It was so cool to see all these old cars racing again. And you know, I think Duncan said that, you know, they're going way faster than they should do. Some great engineering behind them all, and I think the vintage scene is just going to grow and grow and grow. You know, it's certainly not going away, is it?
Yeah, I've got to ask Will, because it's probably the question on a few listeners. Was it when you saw that Associated had done the 5-gear gearbox? Were you like cheeky buggers, or were you like, wow, that's a compliment? Or how did you think when you first? What did you think when you first saw it?
I wouldn't lie if I said it was exciting, but it wasn't anything that I was not expecting to see at some point from someone. It was quite entertaining from, you know, the internet side of things when it came online. It was a wheel speed copy and all these things. So it's a bit limited, really, what we could see first off. But, you know, it's not rocket science, if you like, moving the motor forward and, you know, putting the extra gears in. I mean, it's not exactly a patent thing from our side, and it's not something you could patent, but I think it was always something that was going to come about, moving the motor further forward, and obviously adding additional gears is something to do that. But I think it blinded people a lot from I think it's obviously become a lot more evident now, but I was getting a lot more excited by other things that I could see in the car past the gearbox. So you know, it wasn't a wheel speed. If they were inspired by our design at some point, I think that could be probable. You know, it's been on the market for quite some time now, I think 5 years or so. So they've probably seen it, probably thought, you know, but I don't think it's a copy by any means. And I think, I saw the KPI pretty early on in the pictures, and I saw the pivot widths and stuff, the other details. I said, you know, there's a lot more going on here than just the transmission. Yeah. And I think people it's probably more evident now, but they're only sort of 8 mil, I believe, is the figure further forward, where ours is something like 34 millimeters further forward. So there's still quite a large difference in motor position between what the RF3 is and what the B7 is. It was definitely exciting to see the 5-gear, and I think it's you know, nice to see that we haven't got to do the selling on it now. So we've had belief in it for some time, but you know, when AE brings it, it's not such a question to two guys doing it it started in a shed. It's in a proper unit now, but you know, two guys in the shed to now, you know, it's a full-fledged RC manufacturer with one. It's quite cool.
Yeah.
What's next? Do you like proper flip the script and now you start making 3-gear boxes for a B7?
Like a low traction one, you know what I mean? Something like, yeah, I don't know.
I did text Will immediately and said, should we do a 3-gear?
Yeah.
And then Will was like, actually, that's not a bad idea.
How do you go like forwards now with, because I remember you were saying you were talking about doing just gearboxes, weren't you? Maybe like doing just,
great, yeah,
just rather than doing just doing gearboxes for people to fit to the cars, basically. you know, like maybe a three gear for that, or I don't know, for other cars.
Yeah, again, on just sort of the affordability side of you know, people in the hobby, the tuning parts are, you know, you say if you spend £20-30 or a gearbox is definitely going to be a more expensive item. On a tuning item, it's sort of you take it or leave it. You might, you know, pick it up one day, use it one place. It's just much less upheaval. And we did start on this idea before the B7 release that we were going to do transmission cases that went into standard cars. In terms of Morris, it was just a transmission case, meaning it utilizes the same motor plate, bolts up to the same chassis, uses the same shock tower. So you're just purchasing a transmission case, and you know, you've not got to change your body shell or any of those aspects. It's just, you just change the transmission case, and then you get the options to that motor forward effect. So that is something we are still doing, and we've got preliminary designs complete for, I think I'll just say it, Schumacher. I think that we do have a 5-gear transmission on the screen for Schumacher, so I can't predict when that's going to come onto the market yet, but it's pretty close, I'd say. And we're looking at the others as well. And I think what we're still in discussions what our plans are for the B7. And I think it'll be nice to say we're going to release quite an extensive option part line anyway. But we will be doing some once people have started to settle in with the platform, and we've had a bit of design time as well, we will be doing some flagship items from the billet chassis and probably gearbox options, whatever it might be. But I think what we're aiming to do is make it more modular. So if you want to pick and choose what you want to use, so you can go full-blown wheel speed, conversion with the chassis, the gearbox and all the other bells and whistles, or you could just say you could just use the chassis plate, or you could just use, or whatever it might be. Obviously we don't want to tie down our constraints too much, but that's our definite thoughts moving forward on where we'd like to go.
I mean, it is good that, you know, being a smaller company, you can jump on this stuff straight away, can't you? Like, you know, like say the B7's release, so you can make parts for that, you know, and you're getting Rog at the start of the model rather than, you know, because obviously after with any car, 12 to 18 months into it, and you start making, I don't know, a brass piece for it, they could replace the car within, you know, within a within 2 weeks, couldn't they? You know, and so it's good to be getting
it. That was always fun, wasn't it, Willow, with the X-ray? You know, when the RF2 was about, you know, obviously X-ray were bringing a car out every year.
Yeah.
And it was always, you know, Will was straight on downloading the manual, doing all his clever stuff he does, and, you know, just checking, you know, bolt positions and, you know, C&D blocks and et cetera, et cetera. So there's always a bit of a challenge, wasn't it, with X-ray, Will?
Yeah, I mean, with the hobby as a whole, it's a very difficult market to manufacture anything for because it's so fast evolving. I think if you looked at any other business model in terms of where you made parts for other things, it'd be daft, if you like, because you say you only get a lifetime of a car at the moment, like, you know, a year and a half, 2 years on the best scenarios. And you know, once you say the B7's already been out, is it a month or two, you know, so we're already a month or two into that timeline and we've not got anything on the market yet. So it is, you have to be on it. You have to be forever chasing. And yeah, we're trying to be as quick as we can. Say the only sort of limiting things at the moment is I've got very young families. My children do like to halt my progress and say work life can be quite busy. But yeah, it's definitely satisfactory and getting your own products out there. And we'll the brand's gone from strength to strength, really, from, you know, something that was never intended to have anything on the marketplace to now the extents we are now, is something that I'm very proud of, and everyone that was being involved in it. And say the name, Where's My Name, just because sort of where it sort of began, but it's far bigger than that now, and there's a lot of people to thank that it's probably too long a list to reel off, but yeah, and say there's lots of people in the speed side. If you just take Will speed is a lot of other people that are beyond me. So
yeah, because I mean, you're quite big in America as well, aren't you, with the cars? I mean, it's just like every time you see a race meeting or something, there's someone running a wheel speed over there. But did that surprise you with the take up that you had in the States?
Yeah, I think the American market is has been good for us as well. And yeah, since taking on the distribution side as well, we have Wolfspeed USA, which you'll see. That's run by the guys who are Automatics USA, so they're definitely experienced in what they're doing. And yeah, and every time that we've got something coming, they've got no grievance in stock yet. They just place their order, they put it on their site, and say all our American sales are exclusive through Wolfspeed USA. So you can't actually, just through the agreement, and you know, we want to support them and make sure you the American side buys through them. But yes, it's really good to see. It's just not even the USA, it's worldwide. It's really quite surprising where our stuff pops up and see it across the Facebook posts. And yeah, like, it's really nationwide.
Yeah, there's a couple of guys
worldwide, sorry.
But, you know, we saw a couple of customer cars at Chargers in Australia, which is a, you know, fantastic venue, which we thought the Worlds might be at one point until that got announced. But that's like a really high grip outdoor sugar clay track, you know, and the wheel speeds work really, really well there. So, you know, it's wicked to see where they pop up. And I think with the, you know, more and more tracks in the States, like Keenan mentions on the No Name RC podcast, you know, the dirt tracks are pretty much switching over quite a lot to AstroTurf and carpet in America, and you can sort of see that all the bigger races they're doing. And you know, obviously tracks are easy to maintain, you haven't got like, you know, 10 tons of moist dirt in a building and all that good stuff. So yeah, I think the market's only going to grow over there for sure.
Cool. So are you officially working for Wolfspeed now then, Mark, or you like
part-time tea boy? I have a normal job working for a big American-owned filtration company as a sales manager. That's my sort of day job. But you know, in between phone calls and teleconferences and meetings, I do help out with Wolfspeed, and I live about 20 minutes drive from Wolfspeed HQ, so I drop in and have a cup of tea and a chat with Adam and the guys there. And you know, me and Will and Adam talk pretty much on a daily basis about ideas, stuff we've got in the pipeline. And you know, I used to be, as a young salesman, at the beginning of my career, I used to work in the RC industry. That's how I got into sales and being a sales rep, and then into management and all that stuff. So I used to work for Mirage Enterprises back in the day with you know, Greg Hill and Carl Marsden and Mick and all the team there. So you know, had a bit of background in dealing with shops, distributors, that kind of thing. So I was sort of bringing that part to Wolfspeed to help them from a business perspective. And also with my 18 years I've been with my current company, going into sort of, you know, looking after European countries and other stuff, you know, bringing that knowledge to Wolfspeed to try and help develop the company, make it bigger and better and more profitable for them, really, so we can make more and more stuff. And you know, the ultimate goal is to you know, have a full wheel speed car, you know, and have the budget and facilities to do something like that. And like I say, the guys have got some amazing ideas for their own platforms and stuff, but you know, we've got to grow the business up enough to make that happen. I'll help as much as I can. And you know, that Will and Adam are good friends, as well as all the, like Will said, it's not just Will and Adam, it's a lot of people involved in, you know, with the team drivers we've got and the Will's mates and customers and Carl and everybody that helps out. It's a real team effort from everybody. It's great, you know. I like to see you know, the little companies grow and hopefully become a big company one day.
It's definitely been a interesting development on the Wolfspeed side of things. See, our sort of circle goes back long before Wolfspeed. I think Wolfspeed, say we established that in 2018, but I think I've known Mark and Adam and some of the others, like if we take it back to Predator Vega days, Lewis, and even my current boss, you know, the circle's very tight of these group of people have always been involved together. If you were on the Vega days and the Predator stuff, or a bit of a break until now, and say coming on when Adam launched his business, that obviously gave us the opportunity for Wolfspeed. It's quite a good history in our relations, and to see this grow now is it's interesting. I'm really pleased to hope to see where we continue to go from here.
Yeah.
Watch out X-ray. We're coming for you. With 30 machines and all the facilities and tracks and all that stuff. One day.
I mean, it's great to follow your story, Will. I mean, I remember the first time we spoke, you were making chassis on a night. You were having to work through the night because there wasn't enough money in the machine in the time to build a chassis in the daytime. And now all of a sudden, the last time we spoke, when the first production cars were coming out, machines were running in the day, weren't they? You'd moved up a step basically from a Fred in a shed to a proper car manufacturer where you're having the parts made. You know, it's great to see the evolution of the company of you know where you're heading to next. You know,
yeah, I'd say there's some definite comparables to view a lot along the short timeline that's already been, and it did start that way. It's just started as I had the opportunity for the facilities to be able to manufacture, ignoring the costs, which is an extremely unique opportunity. So now we're a bit more up to speed and sort of have a market, if you like, and a brand. It's a much more easier thing to cost. So we actually put parts on machines in normal production time. So these machines have to generate a revenue per day to, allow a job, if you like. Yeah. So if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't go on. So it's a bit fierce, but that is the nature of manufacturing, really.
These machines, Will, aren't cheap, are they? I don't know how much each one costs, but we're talking.
I would imagine they've got to run 24 hours a day to pay for themselves, It's crazy. Yeah,
I think secondhand they're over 100,000, aren't they, Will?
Yeah, they're six figures.
Wow.
For your base machine, and then obviously you have to tool it up beyond that. And it's amazing what you could spend on fixturing and buy what that. That's a glorified word for vices and stuff like that. You can spend £10,000 on a thing to hold your bit of metal in. Tools are hundreds of pounds each.
And just to be clear, these machines aren't just dedicated to wheel speed. They do, Adam's machine shop has a day job as such. And then the wheel speed stuff's, a passion project on the side. So yeah, but like I say, we're not on X-Race level yet, but we'll certainly try.
We're going nearly an hour now, so I've just got a couple of last questions. Mark, you all ready for the motorbike season this year?
Yes. Been had a good off season, so I've been training hard and been boxing this winter. So been doing that, which is really physically demanding. So I'm in good shape, ready for the season ahead for an old man anyway.
I saw you burning the afterburner. That's speedway bike on Facebook. I think it was today or yesterday.
No, I fired the speedway bike up today. It was a sunny day, and I thought, right, it's time to make some noise and upset the neighbours. Got the speedway bike out and fired that up, and my grass track bike, my 250's done. And the guy that sponsors me has just finished my 500, so I'm a factory rider. So it's sort of second year with this local guy, who's a bit too old to ride now, but helps out a few riders. So he's built me a new bike for this season. So I'll be doing grass track and speedway again, like I did last year, and hopefully no broken legs, like I did the other year. Touch wood. They'll all go to plan, so looking forward to that. And I think the RC will take a little bit of a back step during the summer months, and then I'll try and get in the odd regional here and there or club meeting, and then sort of go back indoors in the off season, which keeps me racing. But then in the meantime, obviously be helping Will and doing as much as I can there as well.
Good luck for the season, mate. I'll be looking forward to seeing your results.
Excellent. I'll be doing it. I'll sort of do a bit of vlogging on. I've got my Mark Headling Racing. I've got a YouTube channel for that, and I've just this year did an RC channel because I did have a bit of RC and motorbike racing vlogs all together on one channel, and I just wanted to separate them, so I've done MH-RC as a dedicated RC channel on YouTube. Little plug there. I think I'm at the heady heights of 311 subscribers on my RC channel, and then 600 and something on my motorbike one. So definitely not going to retire soon on my YouTube royalties, but there we go. So yeah, check it out. I've got loads of Wheel Speed content on their builds and some other cars and some vintage stuff. So it's not just dedicated to Wheel Speed. So there's some other bits and bobs in there that hopefully people find interesting, and tutorials and other things like that. But hopefully it'll grow. And, you know, I've been having a bit of help from Sean on the Isle of Wight. So Sean ERC there. So his channel's doing really well. And me and him talk a bit. And so, hopefully that will grow a bit.
Class. And I've got to ask you, when are you going to start this vintage podcast?
Oh yeah, no, I've talked about it once or twice, haven't I? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll do something. Yeah. I might do a podcast.
If you need any help, mate, I'll get set up. No problems at all.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah, no, yeah. That'd be cool to do something like that. But you know, like I say, I'm enjoying the YouTube side of things, which is cool, and vlogging and that. But I might have to get my ass into gear and do a podcast. Class. Who knows?
Cool. You got any last questions, Chris?
Only if there's anything that these two would like to put into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, I haven't thought about this.
I've got a good one.
5 gear gearbox.
Go on then. Well, what have you got?
That could be a 5 gear could be an entry, but I'm going to say, I don't know if anyone's mentioned this, but Atomic Carbon. I think that was a brand back. If anyone remembers the name, Old Timer on Hoople of days. That was definitely a brand that gave me the interest in sort of the different, if that makes sense, which we can sort of view ourselves as now. And you had the cars, the S2, which I think, you know, was sort of the beginnings of the Centro car, but the S4 and the S44, these molded carbon fiber, just marvels, really. I had an S44 that I bought off Hoople secondhand, and I ran that for a couple of years. And so that's definitely an inspiration from way back when into some of my interests now, and sort of, you know, so we've got this big extension of my own hobby from manufacturing our stuff, but Atomic Carbon was definitely a big interest and sort of inspiring factor for me way back then.
Good shout there, Will, that's cool. And I think for me, I was just sort of racking. Well, it's a toss-up for me between the B4, which got me back into buggy racing, and I've got six of them now in my garage that I've built up over the years, and I absolutely love the B4. But that's been in, and obviously we know the legends that have raced it, including our world champion, Mr. Craig. But I think one thing I'd probably like to stick in there, because I know the B4 has been in there many times before, would be the Jimmy Hoople and the Hoople website, really. You know, the days before social media and everything else, you know, Jimmy's race reports, I still click on them sometimes now and just have a read up and a laugh at how well they were written and all his funny zombie pictures he did and all the other stuff, you know. And I met him at Maritime when the off-road wars events were on and stuff. And Jimmy was a absolutely brilliant guy, super, super talented, and obviously a huge loss to RC. But great to see that his mates, you know, carry on doing that race series in his name, really, which is really, really cool. And the forum was great. I used to go on there a lot and buy and sell things and read the race reports and the reviews people did on there and bits and pieces. So no, I think I'll stick Jimmy Hoople and the Hoople website in the Hall of Fame, really.
That's a great one. I mean, it's quite, I've mentioned this before, but a couple of times I've Googled people to find photos of them, and the photos are still good enough quality on the Hoople website that I've ripped them off there and used them on our posts, you know.
Brilliant.
Yeah, the epic photographs he used to do. Epic. Cool.
Yeah.
Would either of you like to thank anyone before we let you go? Friends, family, sponsors, long-suffering wife, anyone at all?
Do you want to go first, Will?
Yeah, sure. I'll say probably thanks to my other half, Rosie, who has been, you know, I've only done one race meeting back at WSGP, but it's a young family at the moment. It's quite difficult for me to get out racing. So when I have been able to, definitely thank you to her for putting up with our children. And thanks to the guys at 1066 Racing again hosting the second edition of WSGP. We're going to have to run a third edition just because Mr. Coley was up to better things, commentating in the States on Nitrocross or whatever he was doing. So we're going to have to run a third edition so he can come next time. And just thanks again to all the sponsors who supported that. So we had CML Distribution, Schumacher and 1066 RC, who were all very generous in supporting us and that event. And yeah, I don't... personal sponsors. Reds Racing is my personal sponsor, but otherwise that. Thanks to them.
Yeah, cool. And yeah, same, you know, yeah, big thanks to my wife for letting me do RC and racing my motorbikes as well. And, you know, my sons as well. So they're, you know, fully supportive and come and watch their dad have a blast round, which is cool. And, you know, thanks to, I don't really have any sponsors apart from Wheel Speed, really. So big thanks to them. You know, thanks to everybody that's gone onto the YouTube channels, and hopefully we'll get a few more subscribers on them. Grow that side of things. So yeah, and obviously thanks to you guys for doing this podcast. You know, I listen every week and I really enjoy it, and I know you know, it takes up a lot of your time every week, so I do appreciate you guys, you know, for what you do as well. It's brilliant. Do enjoy listening.
Nice one. Cheers, boys. Thanks very much. That's it. You've been absolutely fantastic, and hopefully I'll bump into you the races pretty soon. All right, cheers for coming on.
You're welcome. Good to see you guys. Cheers.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
And they're gone. How about that? I think that was like an hour and 6 minutes, something like that. It was a great chat.
That's almost like we've stopped recording. This is the second part of a recording, and you've already looked at how long the time's gone. But obviously, with being a one-take podcast,
you
couldn't have done that, could you?
One-take podcast.
Couldn't have done that.
Every week. They'll never know. No one ever listens this far.
No.
So you were at Bury then, bro?
Oh, hot off giving you a whip in the week before.
Did you smash that semi final in the end or not?
No, mate, not quite. Okay. To be fair, it was really good competition. I was a little bit disappointed. Skip to the end before we go back to the beginning. I finished fifth in the D, started sixth. But I wasn't too dissatisfied with it. But then rounds one and two, I had a 24 and a 27 in round. And I was sitting, I think it was 24th or 25th overall.
Yeah.
And if the day had ended there, I'd have been buzzing. Absolutely buzzing. They were probably my best two runs of the day. Plain and simple, everybody else improved, I didn't. That's it. Brutal and simple, quick, straight to the point. You know, everybody else improved, I didn't. I think I probably just pushed a bit too hard and got a bit too aggressive with the car and a bit too over eager and just made mistakes, in all honesty. It was what it was. Had a good fight with a couple of people in the final. Car felt good all day. When I backed off in the final, I did my fastest times, so I think I was just overdriving the car, in all honesty, the last quality three and four.
Do you think you're overdriving and pushing wide, or were you making mistakes?
It was just overdriving and making mistakes, just clipping, you know, trying, just catching a pipe a little bit too tight on the apex kind of thing. And
I suppose if you're carrying a 26 and a 27 and you want to try and get the C, you want a better run as well, don't you?
Well, I'd got it into my mind going, if I can get a... I was carrying a 23, a 24 and a 27.
Yeah.
And I was like, that 24 is remarkably close to a top 20.
Yeah.
And then I think I got a little bit... Yeah, I think I'd got it into my head. I was like, go on, see if you can make a top 20. And I couldn't. So it was just... You know, it was... Ironically, had I have done my 24 in round three... that would have been fast enough for a top 20.
Yeah. Oh, it was what it was. Because of the tyre situation, I suppose.
Yeah. So, no, it was really enjoyable, you know, good days racing, good day spent with the team.
Yeah. So where do you finish in the D final, did you say?
Fifth.
And you qualified?
Started sixth, finished fifth.
Any good racing? Did you get up or down, or was it just like...
I was just battling with one guy all the way through. I think it's Paul Griggs. His surname's Griggs.
I know the name.
Again, he's running a B7, you know, nice guy from, I think he's a little bit up north. He's, I think he's good mates with Ben Stevenson, who copied my stickers.
I noticed today you've had new stickers, but they're not pink anymore.
Is
that because you need to set a new trend?
I need to set a new trend, and that Git Thompson copied me, didn't he? Nah, it's not. It's purely because I really, really do like the pink stickers.
Yeah.
But I think the pink kind of got lost in the pink of the body shell. So.
Oh, what's it? Speaking of pink body shells, also Darren put some pictures on the Instagram.
Yeah.
Have you had new bodies done?
Yeah, yeah, that's mine that he put on Instagram. He's bringing it to MK with him for me. But as you, if you have a look at it, what you'll see is the pink of the sticker get, because there's a lot more pink down the side of the car.
Yeah.
The associated pink sticker gets lost in that. Even though they're reflective, the pink reflectiveness gets lost. Yeah. So I went with the blue ones for a bit of transition. And I might play around with like blue ones down the side. And I've still got a load of pink ones off. Off Richard RDT, so I might play with some pink, just play with mixing them around, having some blue, some pink.
Yeah.
Might do the old 555 Lucky Strike car and have half the car, one half of the car pink, one blue.
Yeah, yeah, definitely do that. Do that.
No, no, I won't, because that'd bug my OCD terribly. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, Keith, but, Keith you know, would probably take your team drive off as well if you were unsymmetrical.
If it wasn't symmetrical.
Yeah, if you're unsymmetrical.
Yeah, I hate, yeah. No, yeah, I can't, no, I can't. I could never run not symmetrical. That's why if you look, I was looking at that picture. Darren sent me the same picture he put on his Instagram.
Yeah.
I was checking all the points and you know what, they look like they measure millimeter perfect. So he knew who he was doing the body shell for when he did that. But yeah, I like it. All the points have got to match up on the car and everything.
Yeah, bro. Absolutely, bro, mate. So was that the end of bearing there, or is there any more?
Yeah, no, that was the last of the series.
So where did you end up, to next. Where did you end up in the championship then?
I genuinely, you know what? I don't know. I haven't even looked. You know, if you want to put a brief musical interlude up for the listeners, I'll look right now.
No, I'm just making conversation, mate. It's fine with me.
So here we go. Bury Championship after round 6. Uh, 44th overall.
That's not bad.
Out of 149. So top third, I'll take it. I had one disappointing round where I was about 20 points lower than I had been, between 10 and 20 points lower than I had been in the rest of them. So if I'd have done that, I'd have been, if I'd have got, you know, another 20 points average on that, I'd have been top 30. I'd have been up there with...
Well, that's not bad with who's there, really, isn't it? You know what I mean?
No, I'd have been well happy with that. You know, I'd have been really happy with that. Because I had, I was carrying a 72, a 55, a 70 and a 64 and another 52, which was dropped. So if I could have... if I could have got, say, another 72, add another 18 points to it, it would have been 269, which would have put me, sorry, 279, which would have put me joint 33rd overall.
That's not,
which I'd have been chuffed with that. But yeah, you know what? It's a great series, mate. And Dingy, so where were you getting beat by Bruce this week?
I wasn't getting beat by Bruce anywhere, Christopher. Thank you. No, we had a great run. He was without going through all the depths of qualifying, because it got late. He qualified fifth in the C final. Sorry, he didn't. He qualified sixth in the C final, and he crashed on the first lap, and then he was down to 10th, came over the line in 8th, and then he came over the line in 6th, then 5th, then 4th, then 3rd, blah, blah, blah. Got up to 2nd place, and he was chasing down the leader. And he was, mate, he was absolutely flying. And then he went for the lead, got the lead because the guy crashed. And then he went back down to 2nd, and it was like the last lap, the buzzer had gone. And it was, he proper like trained by Tommy Hall. He went down on the bottom corner. There was like a double that you couldn't you could double it if you wanted to, but it was a massive risk of crashing at the end of it. And he went for the move on the last lap, and he cleared the guy who won the race and landed, but unfortunately landed on the pipe. So he got back through again. Oh. So he finished second in the C final. So that gave him the under-16s championship. He beat James Harris, which is Craig Harris's son, and he beat Ollie Frost. But Ollie Frost didn't do enough to count, so Ollie was third in the end. It was really good. I qualified seventh and finished fifth. I ran around in fourth for the majority of the race, and then I was tricking the book. Someone came round. It was Russ Williams, I think, and he qualified on pole. And he spat it off on there early in the race, and I never noticed. So when he came up behind me, I thought it was for position. I thought he was lapping me, so I let him past. And he crashed, and then I had the indignity of letting him pass again.
Oh, it's always bad when you have to do that, isn't it?
I know, but like I say, it was for position, and I just thought he was lapping me, so I finished fifth.
It's a bit like, remember at Slough when I was lapping, and then I crashed in front of you.
No,
and then you had to let me back that. Through again.
Yeah, don't remember that at all.
Was it a bit like that?
Yeah, but it was honestly, mate, a brilliant meeting. My car felt really good. Nothing to complain about. I had them new tyres. That was it's quite funny actually. Those new tyres, I said, we'll use them at Cardiff. Well, Bruce had them, and I just put new ones on. So, but factory bill payer and all that.
Suppose you got to do exactly anything. You've got to do anything you can there just to stop him beating you quite as quickly as he's got to.
On fastest laps, it was a 15 second lap. I was doing. I did my fastest lap was a 15.5 of the entire day, and Bruce's fastest lap was a 16.5. So he's exactly 1 second slower over a fastest lap. But honestly,
what was the track like? Tight hairpin?
You know what? It was flowing. It was pretty much the same as the last one we went to. Like a tight at the bottom, like the snail shape, and then quite flowy at the top end. So yeah, it was good. It was a really good meeting. So I think we'll be back there again next winter, the Secret Winter Series, as we like to call it. That would be really good.
Secret Winter Series that you tell everybody about every week we're on.
Well, I say it all the time. You know, it's if you want to come to Cardiff and you're a normal club racer like me and Chris, you'll have the time of your life. If you're a superstar like Tommy Hall, you'll just walk the floor with everyone, and that's no fun. You know, so yes, yeah, so
I don't know. I don't know. Craig Harris seemed to enjoy doing it this last year.
Well, I agree. Yeah, Craig Harris is so factory that he does like three rounds, wins them all, and then tries to win the four-wheel drive championship, which I think he did as well this year. But yeah, no, he was good.
Double champion.
He's a fast man. I don't know what it is. Craig, obviously, he listens probably, you know, Craig Harris, and he doesn't really go much around in the big scene these days. But my God, that man is still fast. He's ridiculously fast. So, yeah. So anyway, we're all set now for the big weekend this weekend at the MKGP. You all prepped and ready to go?
I would love to say yes, and I feel like I am, but then you know when you feel like you're not.
Yeah.
I think I've got all the main jobs.
Anticipation, mate. That's what it is.
No, I think I've got all the main jobs done. I just haven't got all the little jobs done.
Yeah.
You know, like boring stuff, don't get me wrong, nothing to do with car stuff, like meal prep, jeans out the washing on the, you know, on the clothes rack to dry. Yeah. And they're not dry yet, but I wanted to pack my suitcase. So little bits and pieces like that, I'm just feeling a bit, you know, irritable with, but I'm getting there. It's just like loads of little things. There's nothing really car related. I had my, obviously, it's not a big secret to hide away from. There's been a few issues with the C blocks on the B7 of late. I've luckily never broke one.
Yeah.
Maybe I just don't crash, or I'm not going fast enough to break it when I do crash. Yeah. You know, awesome work from Dave Burton at TMG. So he's basically got strength and C blocks out to everybody within like 3 or 4 days, like from design to manufacture to off to be anodized, And by the way, the anodizing is a perfect match to the AE color, and shipped as well. Perfect. It's like, so we've got them. So that's come good. You know, it's all just coming together. So the car's prepped. Everything's ready. It's just packing the final little bits before I leave in the morning. Obviously, I came over and saw you last night. I've got all the AE banners that have got to go up around the track and make a presence known for our team. And then hopefully we'll make a presence known on the track as well.
Cool. I am all done. I've just got to locate some inserts somewhere in the garage. I've got tyres ready. I've got wheels ready. I've just got to dig some inserts out and glue some rears up. I'm off work tomorrow, so I'll be able to get that done. And I've got two new wings I'm putting on the cars. The ones on our cars just look scrappy, you know. So I just want the cars to look nice. So
what are you going to do? Paint them or frost them?
I'm going to paint them. The Lee family have black rear wings, mate. You know what? And I've bought Bruce a front wing as well. I might paint that as well.
Don't paint him. Frost his wing for him.
Painting it.
No, let him do it himself.
No, painting them black, and you'll like it. Absolutely. Otherwise, you'll stop home.
It'll also be slower. Yeah. It's like yellow wheels, mate. Painted wings slow you down. Extra weight.
Yeah. So we've got that's also. Other than that, I'm pretty happy. The cars are all good to go. Me and Pete had a major night on Monday night with them, just cleaning them all and making sure everything was all set. So, but luckily we've got a lot of time in the meetings. So, and obviously I haven't driven on this carpet since last year when we were on Cactus. So it'd be really interesting to see.
You're in for a treat.
Mate, it's my speciality. What's not to like on high grip carpet? You know, it is my jam.
If you thought Slough was high grip the other week, you're in for a shock.
Slough was nice. I'm looking forward to it, mate. What's not to like? It's carpet. I'm with all my mates. We've got a full outing. Everyone's going. So, yeah, we've got all the Midlands team from the 8th side as well racing there. Frosty's there, Alcock's there, Darren Malt's there. Plus, obviously, all the Northerners are coming down as well. So, it's going to be good. We're going to have so many people to talk to, Chris. We're going to have that many guests for next week's show that I don't know what we're going to do. I'm just going to get them all on.
Maybe that's a good idea. Maybe what we do is next week we have a bit of a roundup with, you know, everyone. We get three or four guests on, 10 minutes each, just to come on, talk about their MKGP. Yeah. Otherwise, we'll end up doing what we did the other year, and every time somebody comes on up until September, ask them how they did at the MKGP.
Yeah, so we'll just get a couple on and do it then.
So we'll just get four or five on next week and talk about it. Hopefully, we'll get the winner, and hopefully the winner will be somebody with a blue car.
Yeah. It's quite funny, actually, because I was looking at a post on X-Ray's Facebook post today, and like they're bringing like, you know, Bayer, Quailo, and they were like, and someone shared it, and it's like, you know, they're really gone to town here. And I'm like, have you seen how many associated drivers are coming? Yeah, who's in Dubai at the moment?
And like, we also need to make a sort of faux apology to Ryan, because after the amount we abused him last week, he did message me and say, bloody hell, I got some stick on the podcast this week, didn't I? And yes, you did, Ryan. And we've let you have this week off, and we'll resume again next week.
I mean, have you seen this is only the two-wheel drive, but the top heats. I mean, I've got them in front of me. I'm going to read it out.
Like a World Day final.
No, top heat. Bartek Zielinski, Bruno Coelho, David Ongaro, Yuna Hattonen, Marcus Krupp, Michael Olowski, Tommy Hall, Lee Martin, Luke Holdsworth, Neil Craig, Ben Smith, and Mika Widmeyer. That's the top heat. And then you think, my God, that's brilliant.
But when you watch it and you think, you know, that's a stacked heat when Craggy's off like and number
then,
nine.
And then you got the B final heat, as I call it. Kobovic, Jamie Hall, Johnny Skidmore, Jorn Newman. Both, you know, Newman and Skidmore are both World A finalists. I think, isn't Newman a world champion? He's definitely won Euros.
Norman won the
on-road world championship for the GT car last year.
Yes, he did.
Max Gottschall, Elias Johansson, Josh Holdsworth, Ben Pugh, Fabian Widmore, Venables, Thomas Phipps, and Martin Bayer. And that's, I mean, the top two heats are going to be like.
Yeah, Bayer's off 12th, and it's like, that's a B final.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know this is only seeding, but you know what I mean? When you look at like Michael Olowski's car six, and you're like, what is he car six for? Yeah. I just can't wait.
It's mental, mate.
You know, and we're going to get to sit there and watch it all live as well, as opposed to watching it on the television, you know.
Well, yeah, that's the benefit of it. And the public get to see it as well, I think, is the big benefit. You know, how many kids get to watch this as a hobby? I think, you know, that's cool. Maybe I'll ask for one of them for my birthday or Christmas or something like that. Yeah. And, you know.
I know it's to put you in heat 10 and me in heat 9. Because you went to the warm up, don't get grandeur or anything like that. You know,
no. If you look, the release said that it was based on a combination of F grading and ability, and obviously, you know, we're similar F grades. But the last time we raced together, I paled you. So
of course, what did like 5 years?
The last time we raced, the last time we raced, I finished a heat above you. So it's only right that I start a heat above you.
Yeah. So anyway, Bruce.
You see this feeling you're getting now when somebody keeps going on about it? That's how me and every listener we have felt about your regional A final.
Chris, can I ask you this? Have you ever tiki'd a round of the West Midlands regional? Bruce is in heat 5. Watch out, heat 5.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Have you put them RPM front arms on?
They've never come off. So yeah, it'll be quite good. I think he'll be all right with the track. He was asking me, not yesterday, the day before, are they going to have that big jump in front of the rostrum again? And I'm like, yeah, they'll probably have something big in front of it. He's like, oh, good, because I like that. And I'm like, yeah, I think you landed it about 4 times though.
In the whole day.
Yeah, in the whole week and the whole couple of days. So, yeah, but anyway, we're only there Friday, Saturday because it's Mother's Day Sunday. No, joking. We're racing 8th on Sunday. So we should be doing our finals and packing up and watch the A finals, and then we'll be on our way. So
yeah, I'm obviously there from dawn till dusk.
Are you on four-wheel drive or trucks on Sunday?
Four-wheel.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, 4-wheel. So I'm doing 2 and 4. Tested the went up Dudley on Monday to test out the cars.
Just in the finals that you beat Charlie Saunders.
Did you notice I gave him a good whipping?
I did. Is it because you were running 4-wheel drive?
No.
Unreal.
Don't be silly.
I was looking at the finals list and thinking, how has he smashed Charlie Saunders? I was like, oh, Charlie must be tired or something.
I stepped in my backyard, didn't he?
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
You know, I know he does listen to this. And if you are listening to this, Charlie, loser.
Brilliant.
But I'm sure he'll put that right this weekend. All right.
Let's knock this on the head, mate, because it's 11 o'clock now, because we've obviously
started late.
But we speak like this in real life, so I think it's quite nice that the listeners get our true sense. So if you're at the GP, come and say hello. Don't be shy. I don't bite. Chris Moyes. But yeah, there's going to be plenty of time to have a chat. So just come over and grab a chair. Bruce won't be sat in his chair very much. He'll be off wandering around the compound. So
terrorising John Lewis.
Come on, grab yourself a can of Coke and come and have a sit down and we'll have a chat. That's it. So do you want to thank the sponsors, mate?
Yes, mate. A huge thank you to CML Distribution, to RC House, to Schumacher Racing, and as we've had them on all episode today, to the guys from Will Speed. Looking forward to some of their updates coming that they've discussed. And thank you all for your continued support.
Perfect. And I thank the listeners, guys. Thanks very much for getting involved with that Car Crash Club podcast that we lovingly produce for you every week. Don't forget to like and share for your chance to be in with the cause at Christmas. If you're at the GP, come and say hello. That's it. Have a safe journey home. Chris, I'll see you Friday morning.
You will do, mate.
In a bit.